Good morning. It is the second week of August. Can you hear all the rain? This is a subarctic beekeeper, one of the many, trying to find a dry place to put my recording device. There doesn't seem to be one. It's an absolute pain in the ass. Right now, what's happening is more winter prep. It's all about the winter preparation up here. And that means I'm going through all the hives, figuring out who's strong and who's not, and who needs to be combined. I don't cull any of my hives. I think it's stupid. I've got lots of opinions, which is good. I've just opened a hive, which was a split, which is fabulous. I can hear them humming. So I've taken the majority of the honey, and at this point, I'm going to start putting feeders on all the hives with a 2-to-1 sugar ratio, and they can start making their winter stores out of that, because we don't hive them with their honey during the winter. That would be a bad move on our part, because honey's got too much moisture, and we want them to hold their defecation for long periods of time. So I'm in hive number 1C. And all the bees are pissed off. They're not aquatic animals, so they're not real happy about the sprinklings of water happening. Nothing I can do about it, ladies, but to be as quick as possible. Our summer's done. Fireweed is gone. I actually have some clover blooming and some other things that they can pollinate, plus some of the vegetables have yet to go to seed. The temperature last night was in the 40s. Tonight it'll be the same. The daytime is in the 60 degree Fahrenheit range. I have not had good luck with the Saskatraz queens. They have just kind of laid around and not laid. I'm sure they were infertile. I had a couple that did well, but I was really hoping for those wonderful Canadian genetics going into winter. I've only got 3 hives that'll have that. I am looking for an empty drawn frame that I can put into this hive, because there's a couple frames of honey I want to remove. In order to do that, I have to replace the frames I take in hopes that the queen will lay and fill those spaces up with eggs, but also that they'll fill up the other spaces with the stores, which will look like honey but aren't honey. So once we pull our honey, we can't go back in and pull the other frames that look like maybe we missed something, because those actually are not the real deal. And nobody wants to be eating non-honey or fake honey, right? It's actually a big agricultural scandal, as I understand it. People flooding the market with fake honey coming from other countries. But I'm sure they do it here too. Using corn syrup or rice syrup and feeding it to the bees. The bees do their thing and they make stores. And then the companies sell it as honey, because to look at it, you can't tell. You have to test it. You can do one test just by smearing some on a flat surface and seeing if water will dissolve it. And there's other high-tech tests you can do as well. But we don't have to worry about that right now, or I don't, because I don't cut my honey. Like one woman asked me at the market, "You cut your honey?" And I thought, "I cut my honey? What does that mean?" And she said that she had bought honey from someone else at our market and tested it, and part of it was not honey. What a disappointment that must have been. Word of mouth goes a long way up here, in the north. Word got around that that woman was cutting her honey, therefore selling bad product. Bad product alert. So her reputation's done. No trust. Trust is earned with consistency, distrust with inconsistency. So you screw up once, and everybody's gonna remember it. Actually, weirdly, this area is also kind of a forgiving area. People screw up all the time, and then they redeem themselves. But I don't know if you could redeem yourselves from selling honey that's been cut with something else. So I've got a deep box here with a super on top, and I'm pulling the super because it's not super. There's one or two frames of honey in it. And I wasn't expecting to get any honey from these. These are the split frames. What I am doing right now, or what I have done, is opened up the deep box, taken the lid off, and there are some bees up in this honey super box. Bless their hearts, they're trying. I want to get them into the deep box. So I'm just going to pull out the frames from the super one by one to give myself some working space and shake those bees off into the deep so that all the bees are concentrated into one box. It'll be easier for them to keep warm. When I winter my bees, I winter them in one box anyway, so they'll be all ready. And hopefully that queen will be laying those winter bees. I'm trying to do this fast so they're not exposed to all this wetness. And I've got to do this before it starts pouring again. Last 2 days, it has just doused us. And when it's raining, of course, the bees can't forage. So they start eating the honey they've made. Smart bees. Save it up for a rainy day, eh? Oh, I've got brood on this. Oh, yay, yay. Brood on this super frame. Well, that's great and not so great. So that means my queen got through the queen excluder and moved herself up. Little devil. So I've got to put this brood into the deep box. So it's a short frame. I'm going to mark it in my app as to the location of it so that I can get it after it hatches. Shoot, I wanted to be done with this hive. I wanted to just let them chill. But apparently the queen warmed her way up. That should have given me a clue because there's more bees. Oh, another frame of brood. All right. At this point, I got two frames of brood. And it'd be easier for them to stay warm in a shorter hive. So I'm going to pull a Hail Mary here. And I'm going to put all the bees into this super and make another small split. Not a small split, but instead of having them in the deep box, I'm going to put them all into the shallow box. That wasn't what I was wanting to do. A lot of beekeeping is having to problem solve. So if you're lacking your executive functioning skills, this is not the hobby or job for you. I've noticed that with my head injury. Now the bees are getting more angry and risk their lives to sting me. I shouldn't laugh, because they're trying. They are trying. It's not their fault they want to sting me because I'm making their hive all wet. I've got to put the deep box on a platform so I can separate it from the bottom board and get all these lovelies into the shallow box. Or honey super, whatever you want to call it. Hopefully I don't have two queens. I wouldn't imagine so. There's not many bees in here. I don't want to lose the queen. I think she's one of my lounging Saskatchewans. Oops. So I always have an extra lid with me so that I can set my boxes on a lid so I'm not losing any bees. And that's what I just did. So now I'm just moving through the frames of the short box. More brood. This is great. These are the winter bees. These are the ones that can last up to 10 months with the development of vitellogenin. I've got 3 frames of brood. God bless them. I wonder if they're probably up in the super because it was warmer. 4 frames of brood. So it'd be absolutely foolish of me to remove these and stick them in the deep box. Okay. I've got 4 frames of brood in there. So it's time to do some shaking for these ladies. I don't want them to get cold. You know, the queen will only lay when her temperature's up. If things are chilly, she's not kept warm, then no laying. So it is good to have a colony. Large colony, smaller space. I like building an Alaskan cabin. So now I'm moving to the brush-off method. You can tell by their hums, they are not fond of the brush-off method. It's not too bad for them. Although, it's not as quick as the shake. The shake and pound should be a wrestling move. Which is when I pound the edges on the hive itself to knock the bees down off the frame. I've got my empty deep next to me where I'm storing the frames I'm pulling, both honey and non-honey. And so one by one I'm going to go through here and pull these bees, not pulling anything actually. I'm requesting that these bees please go down into the honey super box so that you can survive. And you can be with your queen and be healthy and strong. Be with your tribe. Life is safer and warmer with the tribe, especially in these colder temperatures. I used polystyrene hives, although I ran out and had to rely on my old Langstroths. The old reliable Langstroths, the wooden ones with the R value of 1. They're not warm. They're great if you're in a warmer climate, not great up here. They hold on to moisture. They don't keep anybody warm. Great structure though. Langstroth lived in a warmer climate. Notice there aren't any stories of any great beekeepers from the far north. Oh well. We got reindeer herders, we got salmon fisher people. We've got bear wrestlers, but we don't have any great beekeepers. Maybe just no one has asked. I think the Canadians are pretty awesome. They got their game down. Lots of success rates with overwintering in the subarctic. They have a different mindset than we do here on the American side. They get their bees and plan overwinter them. Plan to keep them. Having a plan is always good, right? Because then you're prepared. Instead of what has long been the mindset up here, unfortunately, due to some poor communication and bogus teaching, that you can't overwinter, so you've got to cull the bees. Let's call it like it is. Kill the bees, take their honey, get the honey first, then kill them. Not doing it. Karma is a bitch, right? But also, why would you want to do that? Why not go for the greater good? So I know I'm shaming the beekeepers that kill their bees, but you know, sorry. Their shame is not my responsibility. Anyway, I had to go get some extra super frames from good frame, doesn't it? Just the frame. I had them at the other apiary. So I had to run across the yard and get them. I'm loading them in. And I'm going to put a feeder on top of this box. And I'm going to now feed them a mixture of 2-to-1 sugar syrup. I'm also adding an open pollen feeder out front of their hive that they can access without getting wet. That way they store it in their pollen pockets, take it back to the hive and, you know, do their thing. That's the thing about the pollen patties that I talked about a few podcasts ago, is that when they take a pollen patty, they have to ingest it first before they can use it. Whereas an open feed, they do not have to ingest it first. They put it in their pollen pockets, take it into the hive, and store it in the empty comb like they would pollen from a flower. Isn't it wonderful that there's a creature that makes something so spectacular out of flowers? Flowers are just wonderful in their own right. Back to the topic at hand. I've got a lot of things going on here. If you could see it, it would look like a bit of a mess. I've got a lid here. Bees that are... What the frick is going on, lady? And then I've got my feed, and I've got empty frames and full frames and an extra lid. I continuously lose my, let's say, displace my hive tool. Oh, thank goodness. The lid is on. Bless their little hearts. The lid is on, so they're not going to get wet, which is great. Their ordeal is done with. I've got to clean up and move to another hive in the other apiary. Fill this feeder, then get busy keeping each other warm. And that queen, who's doing a wonderful job of laying, finally, it took her 2 weeks to come out of her cage, even though her cage was open. I can see that the Canadian queens are not so excited about coming to the American hives. Sorry. On that note, take care of yourself, take care of your bees, prepare for winter, and we'll talk soon. Everything is copyrighted and all rights reserved.